grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Everlasting Father. Now, my dear friends in Christ, I have a confession to make. I believe that one of the greatest joys of being a parent I have not yet experienced. It's the joy of when your children begin having children of their own. And then I'm told by many of you have made the confession, they're great, Pastor. You invite them over, load them up on candy and sugar them up and then send them home. It's awesome. I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to those days. But we all know that children cannot remain children forever. Sooner or later, they get out of the crib, and then they get into trouble, and then you got to child-proof the house, and they get older, and the problems just change, but still children get older. And the same is true of Jesus, the little babe in Bethlehem. Sooner or later, he had to get older. He had to grow in wisdom and knowledge and fear of man and God. But Jesus ultimately had to grow up. See, the sad part of it is many people don't get beyond the manger. They see Jesus as that baby in swaddling clothes, a spectacular spectacle that the wise men came to see, the shepherds came to verify, and you and I pass by once a year on the 25th of December to pay our respects, and then we put Jesus into the attic along with the tree. It's all said and done. But Jesus has come to do much more than that. He has come to be, as the prophet Isaiah says, a child who grows up to be the everlasting Father. Now, I got to be honest, it's tempting as preparing a sermon to make this all about the Holy Trinity. Because you got Jesus in the gist of the conversation, and then this idea of the everlasting Father, and so why not? Why can't you just focus all on the Trinity? Even Jesus says, when you see the Father, you see me. The reality is that it's a Trinity. I know all that, but that was not the point that Isaiah was trying to make in our Old Testament lesson for the day. It's not giving us a lesson on the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but he's literally telling you about Jesus Christ and giving you a characteristic of who this Christ child was to be. Isaiah wants you and I to know that this child will not remain a child, but he will grow and he will beget children. You're looking at me right now and says, man, Pastor, you watched the Da Vinci Code, didn't you? Remember that Jesus purportedly ran off with Mary Magdalene after the end. The crucifixion was a hoax. And after he revived in the tomb, they went off and had kids of their own. No, that's not what I'm saying. And that's not the children of Jesus that I'm talking about. No, he is to be called the father of all those who are born again. Or if you look at John, literally, those that are born from above. If you're born from above, then you are a child of God, and you have been begotten by the Holy Spirit. So without Jesus, without his atoning sacrifice on the cross, there is no forgiveness. Without his death and resurrection, there would be no children of God. Period. End of sentence. See, you and I, without Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, would still be trapped in our sins. Far from being children of God, we would be eternally the enemies of God. But see, here's the thing. And that is true even to the believers of the Old Testament who were saved, not only because they believed in the promises that God had made, but they believed in the promise of the coming Savior. Abraham had faith in Christ, although not calling him by name, the promise of God, he lived by faith in the same way that you and I do. See, the reality is for what Jesus did in time is also applied to eternity. From the very beginning to the very end, he died for the sins of all men, no matter when you were born or begotten from above. And so it is in this sense that he is the father of us all believers, giving us life, literally, through the forgiveness of all of our sins. We are children of the Heavenly Father, children of Christ because of that. And by the way, you and I are begotten by the bridegroom through his bride, the church. Through the water of holy baptism, we become a part of the family of God. It is utterly amazing. But Isaiah does not only call Jesus the Father, more than that, he calls him the Everlasting Father, which is an important distinction. Why? Because it reminds us that there is much more to being a father than simply having children. There are plenty of menfolk in the world that are more than happy to contribute the one part without the other. We'll simply beget children. It's all around him. But once it's begotten, it's forgotten. Financially, emotionally, spiritually, I have absolutely no responsibility. There are a lot of menfolk that are good at procreating, and that's the only act of fatherhood that they have a clue on. And sometimes I wonder about that. But not so with Jesus. See, he's an everlasting father that is completely different. He has never abandoned you. He's never turned his back on you. In fact, Luther says in the Articles of the Creed that he is one who is richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. And even more than that, he literally defends us against all danger and guards and protects us from all evil. You have an everlasting Father that watches over you and provides all that you need for this body and life, never abandoning you, never turning his back on you, regardless of what you have done. Today I was visiting with a future member of the congregation, and as we were talking, he made the comment, you know, sometimes it's like you look at my past, the things in my history and all that stuff. He goes, you know, I always feel like I'm not worthy. And I said, welcome to the club. Nobody at Emmanuel's worthy. But I feel like sometimes I come in that people maybe look down on me. And I said, well, I don't know what they're looking down at, because we're at your level. We're all sinners. And I said, it really doesn't matter what you've been and what you've done. The reality is that through the blood of Christ, you are forgiven. You have literally been born from above. In the coming days, he will be washed in the water of holy baptism. He'll confess his faith, probably standing right there, acknowledging himself to be not only a sinner, but through faith in Jesus Christ, a saint. So you have a Heavenly Father that loves you so much that he died a real death for his children. But he didn't also rise from the dead as an everlasting father who has given once died, but to never die again. See, the reality is that if Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father, you know what else that means? That you are his everlasting children. And by the way, you will one day live in an everlasting kingdom where you'll have eons to worship and praise him for all that he has done. His kingdom has dominion over death and the grave and all of it because of what this Christ child grew into. We read in Isaiah that the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressors, the trampling boots of blood, all removed, not needed. Why? Because Christ has redeemed you. And so it is. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has done it. He's done it in time and space, and applies to all eternity. Today, as we gather in this place, we are a part of the body of Christ. We are children of the Heavenly Father. Why? Because he has adopted each and every one of you through the water of holy baptism. You are a new creation. You are a part of the body of Christ, no matter what Satan wants to whisper in your ear. You have come to the delivery room where word and sacrament are proclaimed and words of holy absolution are spoken. And in a moment, the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ would be given, where he provides for your body, physical and spiritual. So today, I guess you can rejoice. You rejoice in knowing that you have a Savior. You can rejoice in knowing that you have a Father, an everlasting Father, who will never abandon you. That he's the one whose birth we celebrate this season. It's the one birth for us, that we might be born again in him. In the name of Jesus, amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.